From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world on our podcast at wildmichiganradio.com. We are being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Drove by there the other day because I live in Holt. I don't live too far from Mason. And man, the lineup outside of Not Just Guns for people picking up their auctions, it was Friday. Now, mind you, the auction happens on Wednesday nights. Thursday, you can pick up your guns. Friday, you can pick up your guns. But there was a line at the small shop, but they're doing big things and Not Just Guns. Make sure you go right to our website, wildmichiganradio.com, and click on the link to Not Just Guns. Let everybody over there know that Mike and everybody that you are, you know, checking them out through us, because they do a great job over there, and there's some great videos on their Facebook page as well. Also want to thank our friends at Conquest Sense. The antlers are growing, man. The Conquest Sense live cam is fantastic. Deer Professor Doug Roberts and Karen, his lovely wife, doing a great job with all the deer and the products over there, like Evercalm and VS1 scent attractants. Going to need that stuff here very, very soon. We are already getting into August here on the show, and we are also thanking our friends at the United Deer Farmers of Michigan as well. And just got a couple of pictures from a couple of their bucks the other day, just absolute monsters. And you know what, with the weather we've been having this year, the hot weather, the good amount of moisture, although things were dry for a while, the good amount of moisture and the nutrients in the things that these deer are eating, looks like we're going to see another great year for big racks in Michigan. And by all means, if you've got pictures of fishing or just getting outdoors with the family, taking the kids out, share them with us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wildmichigan. Very happy to share those with the world. Right now, my good friend Steve Barry, speaking of sharers, is joining me right now. Now, Steve's name has been bandied about by some friends of ours up north because he has been an educator up at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center, where we had the opportunity to meet him for the first time, and we have since kept in contact with him, and he is currently a resident of Florida, but still pops up to fish with Mark Martin and some other guys on occasion. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Real good, Duran, real good.
Always good to have you on, and you know what? It's so funny. Since Ed Shaw introduced us, I don't know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, now I can't even remember how long it's been, but we've had the opportunity to keep in contact and talk, and I hear more about you than I see you.
Is that a good thing?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I hear so much good, so many good things about it. I don't know. I think I'm missing out.
Well, that's good. That's good.
But recently you were up here. You were up here in Michigan. You were fishing with Mark Martin, a good friend of the show and a great Hall of Fame angler that he is. So how did you guys do? What did you guys go out and do?
We were fishing a couple tournaments out of Gray for the MWT, the Michigan Walleye Trail, and we fished a championship. It would have been the 2019 championship. With the virus that's going on, everything's been delayed, so they delayed the championship back into July. And they also had a one-day shootout. You could fish. The one-day shootout was Saturday. The championship was Saturday and Sunday. And we fished both of them and ended up cashing a couple checks.
Nice. See, that's not bad. Pays for the, you know, the drive up here or the plane fare, maybe.
Yeah, it did. It took care of my expenses. And, you know, I got to get back up there and fish with Mark and Chris again. And you know, it was a good time. We caught the biggest fish for the tournament. And on the one-day tournament, we finished in sixth place, and then we went into day two of the championship in second place. We got our fish early, but we just couldn't upgrade, and we ended up falling back into 12th overall.
Still, man, a bad day, which that's not a bad day in my world of fishing, when you can cash a check or when you can just get out in general, but that sounds like you had a great time anyway.
Oh, we had a riot. The weather was perfect. It was hot, but, you know, I've been down here in Florida long enough where the heat didn't bother me. We caught tons of fish. You know, we caught three-man limits every day plus. You know, we were throwing fish back. It was just real hard for us to find, you know, any big fish consistently. It was a tough bite. The insects were hatching, and all our bites came in the top 15 foot of the water column, over 50 to 70 foot of water.
I was going to say, when you're competing against Mother Nature like that, you really have to adapt. I mean, and when they're up in the water column feeding like that because of the hatch, you definitely got to change your game.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we went into it thinking, you know, we're going to run crankbaits for the, you know, catch the bigger fish, and the crankbait bite just wasn't there for us. We started marking a few fish. When they're that high, you don't mark them very good, you know, because they'll go off the side. They spook from the boat. Every now and then we'd mark a fish, but we kept seeing the bugs keep rising higher and higher in the water column. So we started running stuff up high, and boy, that was a ticket. That's where the fish were.
Now, how did you adapt? You said you were going to use crankbaits at those deeper depths, or those, you know, bigger depths, but you had to come up. So what did you change to?
Crawler harnesses, fish bones crawler harnesses.
So some thump and some smell in the water was definitely the ticket then.
Well, you know, color was a big one. There was these little green bugs that were hatching. When you'd squish them, they'd squish kind of greenish. So the first couple of days in practice, they were hatching pretty heavily. So we were running green blades to match those and just knocking the daylights out of them. Fishbones, Custom Lures, Alabaster Smasher blade was just killing them. And then the hatch stopped. So we were like, okay, now what? So we switched over to some other colors, started running, ended up, again, Fishbones, Custom Lures, Voodoo. I like to run it when they're on an insect bite. It's got the darker beads on it, and it's a copper blade, and it's a good blade for when the insects are going.
Now, when you guys, you know, how was the water clarity? Because I know color has a lot to do with it. Sometimes sound has a lot to do with it as well, by the size of the blade or the shape of the blade. How was your water clarity when you made that change?
That was a big thing, too. The water kept clearing up on us, and that's not what we were really looking for, was crystal clear water. When you look down into the water, you want to see those microorganisms. You want to see the stuff in the water. You don't want it to be clear. You want it, you know, to be able to see kind of a greenish color. And, again, you want to see stuff in the water. And that's where you're, you know, there's more food in there for the minnows and everything else, so that'll bring the, you know, the predator fish in. But that was a big factor with us, too, because it did keep clearing up as time went on.
Steve Berry, our guest here on Wild Michigan. Steve down in Florida, of course, up here from Michigan. We met him at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center a number of years back when we did the bear hunting clinic with Ed Shaw. The first clinic to come across over there, and that was a good time. And you've been really active there since, Steve. You've been really, I mean, helping people with ice fishing especially. And that's one of those things that, I mean, you seem to absolutely love getting out there and educating people.
I do. You know, not only do I instruct for the DNR, but also for Mark. Mark Martin has ice fishing vacation schools mm-hmm. that he runs, and I do those with Mark also.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate you taking that time out of your schedule, whatever your schedule is anymore. You're still making the trips up here to fish and to teach people. And that's, of course, where we have gotten to know you over the years. And, you know, you and guys like Norm Smith, who I finally saw for the first time the other day. And it wasn't even fishing. We were out picking. We were out in a barn buying some old stuff. He called me up and says, hey, you got to get over here. There's a whole bunch of stuff that you might want. Man, I walked away with a truckload, and that's a whole other story and a whole other show. But we're speaking with Steve Berry. Going to talk more with him in a couple of minutes, find out about his life of education and what he's doing now here on Wild Michigan, being brought to you by Not Just Guns. Find them online, notjustguns.com, or through our website at wildmichiganradio.com.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Find out the truth about CWD at that very website, thetruthaboutcwd.com. The United Deer Farmers of Michigan working very hard to not only ensure the safety of their own herds within the farms, but to keep the herds outside, the wild herd in Michigan safe. And they are putting the money behind the truth about CWD.com so we can find out more about how CWD is affecting our deer herd and what we can do to help to educate ourselves first and foremost, but to keep a vigilant eye on what's going on around the state as well. Back to Steve Berry, who is down in Florida right now, a new resident, relatively new resident of Florida, back down in December, of course. Steve, a pro angler, I would say, and an educator when it comes to teaching people about fishing, about ice fishing with Mark Martin, and also the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center up in Cadillac at Lake Mitchell. Joining us right now. And Steve, you're learning about different types of fishing. Saltwater fishing is so different than freshwater because, I mean, look, man, you can surf fish, which is pretty simple. I've done it. I've gone backwater fishing. I've fished the Gulf. But the one thing I learned about fishing Florida and fishing, you know, the Gulf or the Atlantic side is you don't know really what you can touch, what you can't touch, which is so strange because here anything, I mean, everything has a small degree of danger with it, with a pike or muskie with teeth, catfish, you have the barbs and whatever else. But Florida, there's a whole nother world of survival under those waters.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, everything down here has dentures, and, you know, those dentures, like, sharpened right down with a file, I'll tell you. You got to be careful. I'm learning the fish I can touch with my bare hands and the ones I can't. You know, it's been a big learning curve for me. Fishing is fishing, but yet, you know, there's different structure down here. You know, I could take a lot of what I knew from Michigan, you know, been fishing now for 56 years, so a lot of it you can bring down with you and use some of the same tackle and the same rods and reels to a degree. But, you know, fish are fish. They relate to structure. They relate to food. You know, there's only, you know, three things a fish cares about: eating, not getting eaten, and you know, making the species last. So it's the same that way, but it's learning the new spots, you know. So much water down here in the Gulf. And I ran out 20 miles a couple weeks back and got into a bunch of fish out there, and that was fun. You know, there's just inshore, offshore, like you say, off the beaches. It's really good fishing down here.
You know, I was at, I think I was at Cocoa Beach one time fishing from everybody out there. I'm like, I'm from Michigan. This is what we do, you know. I mean, not like people in Florida don't fish, but it was, you know, I don't know, when you're whipping a like an ounce and a half lure out into the surf and it's like going farther than everybody else, people are just looking at you like you're some sort of freak. But, you know, it's a heavy lure. And I remember hooking into something. It took off and it bent the rod pretty good. And then about 10, 15 seconds into the huge fight, it just snapped right off. Like you said, those things have teeth. Everything has teeth or are a different will to live. And I really would have loved to know what was on the other end of that hook.
Yeah, I agree. You know, my first time out, I went out with a neighbor. Of course, I didn't even know how to get out. You know, I'm on a canal down here about a quarter mile from the Gulf itself. So I don't have any manatee zones or any no wake zones or anything. I've got some of the best access around, really. I live out on an island, but, my first trip out, neighbor was going to show me a couple spots he fishes, and we went out. And about my fourth cast, something spooled me. Now, I've fished kings, you know, gotten many 30-pound-plus kings in my years there in Lake Michigan and you know, in the rivers, and I've never been spooled. And this fish, I don't know what it was, never saw it, it's fooled me and never looked back.
Isn't that something? I mean, there's some big stuff out there, too.
Yeah, there is.
You know, and that's the one thing about Florida, especially when you go right from Michigan down to Florida fishing. Shore fishing is kind of dangerous. I mean, I learned that on the golf course when I went to look for my ball and something really big hit the water. You know, I'm looking around going, you got pike out there or something? No. It was a 10-footer swimming across the top of the water. Like, oh, yeah, I just kind of, ball's yours, kind of tiptoed away. You know, I mean, there's a whole nother danger down there, too.
There is, you just be careful, you know.
Right.
You don't get around the brushy areas of the ponds, you know. You stay away from them a little bit, and you pay real close attention to what's going on out in the water around you. There's a give and a take no matter where you live, you know. I'm not freezing my hind end off anymore every day, you know, and I'm loving that.
And when the rain comes, you wait 15 minutes and it's gone again, and you can see it.
Yeah.
Forever away, and you can adjust accordingly. Have you found a species of fish that you like to target down there? Because there's so many different edible fish down there as well. I mean, the cuisine is I got to say, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, you know, the mangrove snappers are real good eating. Of course, the groupers are good. You know, pretty much everything. One thing I have found, though, is the meat is definitely a softer meat down here compared to coming out of the cold waters of, you know, Michigan. But there's I can't tell you I have a favorite yet. I don't know, even in Michigan all those years, I never had a favorite fish. I loved them all. You know, I really did. If I had to pick one in Michigan, it'd probably be the bluegill. You know, you start out fishing them off a dock, and in your later years in life, and you're not steady enough to go out in a boat anymore, you end up fishing them again off a dock. So, down here, I don't know if I'll ever have a favorite. I like them all.
Yeah, I know.
I live 8 miles from Boca Grand Pass, which is the tarpon capital of the world. So by boat, I can be up there in just a few minutes.
Wow.
And I didn't fish for them this year. I don't have the tackle set up yet for them. But next year, I'll probably get after those.
I tell you what, tarpon on the fly, Steve, I think would be phenomenal.
Yeah, we see them jumping out here in the Sound when we're out getting bait, and sometimes when we're out fishing. You know, why they're jumping, I don't know. I don't know if they're trying to get away from a shark or what's going on, but you'll all of a sudden see a 150-pound fish come flying out of the water, and it's crazy.
Awesome. Steve Berry, our guest here on Wild Michigan. Again, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast anytime, absolutely free, because of people like Conquest Sense that help bring you the show. Steve, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to getting out of Michigan anyway, first and foremost, when this whole thing kind of blows over, whenever that, you know, is going to be. But Florida, it's been a little while since I've been fishing down there, and now that I know where you're at, I think that'd be a little fun to come down there and fish.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Got a spare bedroom and extra bathroom for you. Come on down.
Well, it sounds like a great time. Steve Berry, you can find him again with the Mark Martin Ice Fishing Vacation School or at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center, teaching you how to fish and sharing a great conversation with us here on Wild Michigan. Steve, thanks so much.
You bet.
More coming your way. We're going to talk with Ted Harpum from Darton Archery on Wild Michigan.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's stealing like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Sense up in Davison, Michigan. Makers of VS1, Evercalm, and of course you can check out their live camera, conquestsense.com. They've got some monsters, absolute monsters over there. And we talked with a good friend of mine last week, Dave from Lucky Buck, and for those of you who don't get hour two of the show, we're gonna play that for you again. So you hear it. We want you to hear Dave talk about Lucky Buck and what it's meant, and what business-wise they're doing right now. Even though there's a baiting ban in Michigan, they are on track to having a record year. And it's not just in Michigan. It's across the country. And that is one of the most encouraging things to hear about business, whether you like baiting, you don't like baiting, you like Lucky Buck, you don't like it. It's a Michigan success story, and that's what we want to hear. Okay, that's what we're talking about. And another one that's, you know, that's facing difficulty like everybody is Darton Archery. Same ownership for 70 years plus. And I know Ted Harpum hasn't been there for 70 years, but he's been there a while. He's our good friend from Darton Archery in Hale, Michigan. Ted, how are you, sir?
Hi, Duran. Hey, thanks for having me on today.
Man, it's been a while. And you know, real quickly, we spoke off air. I said, it's been a while since I picked up a bow. Of course, my last bow that I shot was my Darton 700. I love the Darton bows. And, you know, we wanted to bring you on because, look, like everybody is going through difficulties right now, and the archery industry is no exception because it's a part of this topsy-turvy place we call Michigan and what's going on with the hunters in the state and with deer hunting and with CWD and everything else. But how is that reflected upon with Darton and the archery industry in your end?
Well, you know, Duran, that's a great question, and it's easy to answer because with all this COVID stuff that's happening today and all the restrictions that are out there today, cutting non-essential manufacturing back 50%, you know, everybody getting laid off, you know, the difference in people's pay and what they're taking home and what they can do, where they can go and how they can do it, you know, encompassed with all of that, with the baiting bans, the Michigan deer hunting laws changing constantly. You know, we're not seeing the hunters. I mean, the licensing's down. You know, we need guys being out there and enjoying the outdoors and stuff. You know, it's like we had talked for a few minutes. It's difficult. We're really trying to push for the younger crowd to get out there. Now we've come up with two new bows we'll talk about in a second, for the younger guys to get out there, the younger youth kids. But in Michigan, it's hard to get a youngster out in the woods sitting in a blind. With all the electronics there are today, all the stuff that's going on today, it's not like when you and I were a kid. We didn't have Xboxes and iPhones and stuff like that. I mean, we sat there with our dad on the runway and enjoyed hunting, and we did well with that. But today's day, I mean, the kids sit in these blinds, and they're out there, or they're in the woods, or in a tree stand, and they don't see a deer for hours, or maybe not see a deer at all. And that's usually the last time they'll go out. Or they're sitting in a blind playing on a cell phone. But, you know, I think that with everything encompassing today, I mean, it's just making it harder and harder and harder to get the youth involved. And then now archery's kind of taking a little bit of a backseat to it. You know, if you go today's price of bows and people don't know if they're going to have a job, they don't know where they're going to be, it's difficult to go to your spouse or even yourself, go to the archery store and say, geez, I want to buy a new bow and spend, you know, $1,500, $1,800 on a new bow.
No, I get it. I totally get it. And if not for this show and the things we've done and the people we've met, I probably would have never picked up a bow in my life. But way back when, we had somebody says, here, try this out. And then we had a good friend named Tom Nelson say, if you need help, call me. I'll teach you. And by the age of 40, because of this show and because of the people we met and everything else, I actually harvested my very first deer. Now, mind you, I'm not saying first deer with a gun or a bow. It was with a bow, and it was ever. Okay, I mean, from the age of 14 to 40, I went over. Okay, so
great.
Trust me when I say that I understand frustration in hunting, and now we didn't even remotely have the issues we have now.
Right.
Okay, and archery. I still love it. It's still there, but because of everything that's going on, it's really taken a back seat, which I keep looking at my target going, you know, you can set it up. You can shoot in the backyard. You can and do this, and then I get distracted by something else.
And that's the encouragement we're trying to put forth right now. You know, even though we can't get out to a lot of the range, well, for a long time we couldn't get out to any of the ranges, but the ranges are now slowly starting to come back, and guys are starting to pick up, you know, their bows again and be able to get out and do some shooting. Most of the big national events around have been canceled. Some of them have gone on. You know, the numbers have been just okay. But, you know, we encourage people, you know, get in your backyard. If you got a chance to shoot, you know, there's a lot of people that can't go in their backyard and shoot and need that spot to go. But, you know, we're in the archery industry. That's all we make at Darton Archery is bows. We don't do accessories. We don't do anything else, but we manufacture a handmade, manufactured in Michigan, assembled in Michigan. We feel one of the top archery pieces of equipment manufactured today.
You guys have done a wonderful job. Speak with Ted Harpum from Darton Archery. You guys have done a wonderful job incorporating all skill levels of bows for people just starting out, to the people that are very seasoned, to now into the crossbow industry, which we'll get to in a little bit. But you've got tell me about this Mentor bow that I see. I mean, I looked at the website, new website, right, all new stuff that I didn't recognize anything, which is cool, which is really cool.
In the time that we hadn't even cut back, we worked on some things that we needed some help with, and one of them was the website. And so we got our website changed. We've upgraded everything. And in the meantime, in doing that, you know, we were really had moved into all Pro Series bows. The Spectra E, the Maverick XP, the Lightning XP, the Tempest, and we hadn't done much with the youth bows. We always had the Ranger and the Ranger X. And so what we decided this year was to concentrate on trying to give us a really, really strong youth bow. So we did the Mentor D and the Mentor E. Now, the Mentor D is our basic model, which gives, and believe it or not, this thing is a machined riser, 29-inch axle. This thing is a great young youth bow to start out. The draw lengths are short. I mean, you can get all the way down to 22 inches of draw length on this, and now we're even manufactured a universal module, which is, you know, I think on the website yet, which can even take you down less.
Wow.
So now it'll just about fit anybody. And then it goes up to the E system, which is this is just the same E system we put on the Spectra E on a youth bow, on a youth model. So they're getting all the advantages of the technology that Darton has today, which is, you know, cutting edge with this E system on a youth bow. So we're super excited about it. People are excited about it. We're getting a lot of feedback, a lot of good positive feedback. We started manufacturing the Mentor now, so we're beginning to take some orders, and we'll have some out on the street at some dealers here shortly.
See, and I like that because I'm a short ATA, a short axle bow guy, and I don't have a really long draw length. And I know the frustration for kids that want to shoot, and you know, there was nothing out there. I mean, there was some other youth-friendly bows, but they weren't exactly something that was going to give kids that real hunting action bow feel.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly what the Mentor does. You know, they can look at mom and dad's bow, and their bow is just like it. It's not a cast riser. This is a machined riser. This is, you know, the cam system, all the drive system on this thing looks, feels, and draws just like their mom and dad's bow. So these kids now are going to be shooting something that's going to be very, very, very competitive as they grow. And then they can move right out of that system right into the same system in an adult series bow. So there was a little bit of method behind our madness here a little bit. So as they're coming through the ranks now and they're shooting the Mentor E, they can jump right into the Spectra E. They can jump into the Tempest E and roll right forward.
All right, we're speaking with Ted Harpum from Darton Archery. Going to do a whole other segment with Ted coming up here in a couple of minutes. Find out what else Darton has up their sleeves for 2020 here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Nick Munn, Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, book knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State, all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com. Pick up the podcast on there. Alex has been diligently working on the podcast. God bless him, because I'm miserable at it. I don't think I'm good at a lot of things anymore, but as I get older. But you know what? Talking, that one hasn't left me. But speaking of talking, we got our good friend Ted Harpum from Darton Archery speaking with us on the Conquest Sense Hotline here on Wild Michigan. And Ted, we covered a little bit about compound bows. And before I get to crossbows, I want to talk about that fishing bow you guys have, because bow fishing has really, really come into its own here, especially in Michigan around the month of May, man. Carp fishing is absolutely huge. And you guys have a splash bow that I was checking out that looks really cool as well.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm glad you brought that up, Rand, because, you know, bow fishing has really, really caught on. It's a terrific sport for the entire family. It's fun to be out there, and you shoot some more. So if you love the action and you love the sport, cannot go wrong with bow fishing, and it's just really, really, really a great sport to get kids involved in. And guys are out there. There's competition out there. There's lots of stuff happening. Yeah, the splash is a terrific bow. And now we're even selling a lot of them down in the southern part of the United States in the ocean.
Really? That sounds cool.
We have got a lot of guys down along the Carolina coast in that. And I've got a really good friend of mine owns a charter down there called Stray Cat Charters down in Hilton Head. And these guys are shooting spade fish. They're shooting all sorts of great fish out there, which is not only super fun, but they're great to eat. So you don't get that advantage in Michigan. So if you happen to be traveling out of the state and you go different places, there's some great, great charter services that offer bow fishing now.
Yeah, it's not just fertilizer anymore.
Exactly right. I'll tell you. Yes, and them ocean fish are just a ton of fun.
Ted Harpham is our guest from Darton Archery. You can find them in Hale, Michigan. Find them at dartonarchery.com. Of course, there is a new website to look at. And Ted, I'm gonna say this publicly, and I mean this. Wholeheartedly, that the coolest crossbow I've ever owned, we still own and still shoot, is the Toxin 150. What a great crossbow. And I'll tell you why I like it. I like it because of the short axle in the crossbow itself, because sometimes, you know, you have two people inside a blind, and you know, you don't want some great, big, bulky crossbow inside the blind with you.
That's the main point of getting narrower is just for that reason, Duran. And, you know, at Darton Archery, two things that we like about the crossbow, the Toxin series that we have. Number one is the shootability of the bow. With the bullpup design, the ambidextrous safety, the two-point trackless rail system, the larger foot stirrup, we still offer a let-off on our crossbow, so they're very easy to cock. So with all of that being said, you know, making the bows narrow is the next big feat. And we've been working on that, and our crossbows are getting narrower and narrower all the time. And now we've come up with a different cam system coming up for 2020 that I think people are going to really, really enjoy the performance of these crossbows and all the great safety features that we have. You know, we've got the best finger protection in the industry. We have absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, 100% the best warranty in the industry. We don't have crossbows that break down. It's probably the safest crossbow by far in the industry today.
You know, and that's important. Speaking with Ted Harpham here from Darton Archery in Wild Michigan, Ted, that you guys have always had fantastic safety features on that crossbow, but there is a balance in that crossbow as well that is second to none. It's not front heavy, it's not back heavy, it's balanced and balanced well.
Yeah, we've done that with the bullpup design, and that's in a military design that we've spun off of, because in the military, these guys carry these rifles. A guy from 6'3" to 5'4" can all shoot the same rifle, and that's how we made these crossbows. So it's a unique way to do it, and you've seen more and more people gravitate to that style of crossbow, and now we're trying to make the front riser a little more narrower. So again, it's just, you know, some of these guys are really super narrow and really super tight, but that puts a lot of undue stress on areas that sometimes can have problems.
You know, Ted, and that's important too. This is where the breakdown comes in for some of these bigger, bulkier bows. Is you've got so much stress going on that X amount of arrows that you put through, whether you're sighting in, you're hunting. And if you don't have a decocking device for there, you know, you're either shooting into the ground or shooting into a bag target with a field tip to unload your crossbow. I mean, that sets a lot of wear and tear on it as well.
Yes, it does. You know, there's no question about it. There's some the crossbow decocker out there today is probably the number one safest, easiest way to decock a crossbow, bar none. And one thing I wanted to stress while we're on crossbows a little bit, everybody's gotten to now where, you know, we have the best crossbow to shoot 100 yards. I still am a strong advocate of, if you're in the woods and you're hunting and you're shooting an animal at 100 yards, regardless of how accurate this thing is, there's just a lot of variables. So I always like to tell people, you know, shoot within your means. You know, bow hunting was designed to shoot, you know, animals from 0 to 20 to 30 at first, and now they're out to 50. You know, and I'm not saying you can't shoot them at 60 to 100, but, you know, you want to make the most humane, ethical opportunity we can. And I think sometimes that has a problem. Whoops. I'm in my car and I got a guy ambulance going by right now.
No, he's not speeding. He didn't rob a bank. He's on the phone with us. It's all safe. But you know, and I'm glad you brought that point up, Ted, because I mean, in the early days when crossbows were first allowed in Michigan, oh, my crossbow would shoot 100 yards. That's all well and good, but you're shooting a way heavier bolt with a much heavier grain broadhead, and the kinetic energy, the stroke is so much shorter that you are losing a lot of kinetic energy there. And the impact is not going to be the same that you may just wound or maim an animal. And you know what? I don't care. Good. If it's paper, knock yourself out. But when it comes to taking that ethical shot, you know, I'm saying, well, now 50 and below, I wouldn't have hell said 50 then.
Right. No, and I agree with you, Duran. There's no question. You know, 50 yards sitting in my tree stand, in most situations, in the state of Michigan even at least, 50 yards is a pretty good poke with a bow. You know, if you get a rifle where you can, you know, really thread that needle and your accuracy is dialed right in, it's a whole different game. But I never want to get it confused where, you know, people think this crossbow is the same as a rifle. And I think sometimes now, today's things, with some of these different manufacturers out there that are, you know, these crossbows that are $3,000 can shoot, you know, 100 yards and a one-inch group. Well, you know, you got to understand that that's probably done, you know, at the factory, on a bench, perfect wind conditions. I mean, everything is right. I mean, probably 7-8 years ago, we were the Guinness Book of World Records. You know, we shot, you know, three arrows at, you know, 200 yards and 300 yards. But, you know, we had a professional guy shooting it. The day had to be perfect. I mean, there's a lot of variables to it.
Sure. Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up. The 3,000, let's get that $3,000 price they got everybody's head right now, because they're not. They're just not.
Right.
Your bows aren't. As I look at the website, you know, the Toxin 150, which I have, is at 11-11-06. And this is a bow that the whole family, right-handed, left-handed, boy, girl, man, woman, the whole family can use, and the whole family can get out and hunt with.
Yeah, and we carry, we're a full bow archery company, and we carry the compounds and the crossbows. And, you know, we got crossbows today that, you know, we've lowered the price down to $599. A year ago, we started lowering some of our MAP prices. Instead of going up the other way, we actually lowered our prices to try to fit in that market better. So, you know, our compound bows have gone down in price, not up in price. And we're trying to make sure that, you know, we don't get ourselves priced out of this game.
Yeah, it's that can be very difficult, especially I don't care how good the economy is. It's still going to cost somebody that doesn't have as much money the same as somebody that's, you know, that does. So,
exactly.
You know, when you make it, when you level that playing field for the hunter, new or experienced, it really does make a difference.
Yeah, sure does.
So anything else you're working on, Ted? We've got about a minute left in this segment.
Well, you know what? I just wanted to, you know, keep an eye on the website. We've got a lot of stuff going on the website. As soon as we can start getting out again with the Darton shooting trailer, we'll have that traveling around the, you know, the tri-state region, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, we try to get down to. Where it's fun to bring people out and let them shoot on the trailer and let them try the bows. We're a company that doesn't spend all the money in the advertising and stuff. You've seen it over the years as being the oldest company in the industry. We try to promote our pricing and our quality and stuff by putting the bow in somebody's hand. And I can tell you that's probably not the best way to do it, because we get overwhelmed with calls saying, look, you know, we don't see you anywhere. We don't have this. You know, we haven't seen it in the magazines and stuff.
Right.
But then again, we're not charging $1,300, $1,400, $1,500.
Exactly. Ted Harpum, DartonArchery.com. You can find him there. Another great Michigan company located out of Hale. Appreciate you joining us. Hang on, Ted. I want to talk to you off air, but more coming your way. We're going to speak with Dennis Eade from the Michigan Steelhead and Salmon Fishermen's Association. Find out what's going with them. And find us on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns. Also, United Deer Farmers of Michigan and Conquest Sense, all three great Michigan companies here on the Michigan Talk Network.